The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shelf Guys Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the Fascination of Fourth Year, my wonderful co-host, and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. We're so happy that you're here. Come on in, make yourself at home in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is episode number 78 of Shell Cottage Radio, and this week we talk about chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Hermione's Secret. Hermione. I think he says something like Hermine,
as in, and that's maybe her secret, right?
Hermine's secret.
Yeah. I think Hermione has a few secrets, to be honest with you, all right?
Oh, yes, she does.
Just in later books, I think she got quite a few more secrets that we'll talk about as the series unfolds. The fanfic is wild on Hermione and all these other characters.
So, what do you ship? Hermione and Draco, Hermione and Victor, Hermione and Ron,
Hermione and Harry. I've always just shipped Hermione and Hermione. Gotcha. As in, like, Emma Watson talks about dating herself. And that's such you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she's just solid. She just is. She's just good. Now, yes, she's a teenager here at a wizarding school, and she loves Ron, and so I'm all for it. She loves Ron, and she always has, okay?
I know. People say they're not meant to be with each other, but who are
hogwash.
We to say that?
Codswallop.
Did you say hogwash?
Hogs. What did I don't know what I said. Hogwash. Hogwash.
That's great.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Hagrid would say codswallop.
Yes, he would. All right, we'll get into a small squirt of cottage ketchup and challenge Bill with one trivia question, and then we'll get right into the long summary of this wild chapter.
Hey, happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, that's
Let's
right.
go.
Super Bowl.
Let's make our predictions right now. Who do you think is going to win? I'll tell you who's playing because Lottie doesn't even know who's playing. All right. We can pick from there.
I know who's playing.
Who?
I'm rooting for Taylor.
You're rooting for Taylor?
Yes.
Boy, you just. If I post this on the internet, people are going to be so ticked. People are going to be like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, half the internet will be like, yes, 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 yes. The other half will be like, why is everything about her and she's the Super Bowl? This is our thing.
I know.
Calm down.
I get it. Yeah. I don't want to, like, I don't know how they do it, how she does it. You know, your whole life is on TV all the time.
Crazy.
Hopefully they, you know, are okay.
Hopefully they're fine. And hopefully they win the Super Bowl. I mean...
Truly, you know? without Taylor rooting for them, who would you want to win? Just from how the team's performance, or players you like, or how the team's performance?
Probably
how the team's performance. I can't talk.
I'm just trying to speak my English words. I would probably be rooting for the Chiefs, just because I have a lot of respect for them, and I think the 49ers have typically been, you know, they've had their dynasty days back in the past. They've won quite a bit of football. Why are you grinning so much?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I never talked to you about football. you don't realize how much I know.
No, I love that you said dynasty days.
Oh, dynasty days. Anyway, so I would say that I'm rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know people are going to hate me for it, but I actually like Travis Kelce. I think he's an interesting, cool dude, and, you know, I don't know.
I have a question for you.
Like his family and his brother. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you like him. Yeah. People have said you look like him a little bit. So
Which is crazy. That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah,
sorry.
I looked at a picture and I think that they're...
No, he likes to keep it short on the sides. I like to keep it short on the sides too. You know, I like that. Somebody said that and I thought, I need to hit the gym like a madman now. People are going to start comparing me to Travis Kelce just in terms of the haircut. Then I've got to go to the gym more.
It was so nice though, because you said it was an little older lady, right? Mm-hmm. And who said it in front of all your female colleagues. So
yeah, that was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. She didn't even know who it was.
Oh.
She didn't even know who it was in the magazine.
So she looked him up.
No. She walked by. There was a magazine just in the office, right? She walks by and this feature of him. He's been going crazy for that team. And she walks by and she's like, oh my gosh, that looks like Ezra. And everyone's like, you know, spits their guy. What'd you say? You know, and it was crazy. Not gonna lie, it was crazy. But then I thought, oh, hey, you know, maybe Lottie's got that T-Swift vibe going, so.
Oh, that's, back in the day.
You know, when I just be that.
Blonde curls, and Taylor also had blonde curls, and she's almost my age, and I'm tall, she's tall. Like, people here in the United States, I didn't even know who she was, and they, I have
like, hi, Taylor.
Awesome stories with a mailman who thought I'm Taylor Swift, and some girls taking a picture with me. And another exchange student from France, Mimi, bless her heart, she's like, she had a really good camera back in the day. I'm going to shoot some pictures of you. You look like Taylor Swift. And I had no clue what was going on.
That's hilarious.
I think.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think I should try one day, like, grow my hair out even more and then have the bangs and then have, like, little curls around it.
Dye it the same as hers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
Get some fancy costume going.
So if I go on a big bulk right now, if I start bulking and try to grow those big muscles like Travis has, he's got these big old arms, right? Big dude. Stud. I actually like him. I think he's a great dude. I'm rooting for him. But anyway, maybe we could go for Halloween. We could go.
I know. That would Taylor be so funny.
I'll get some football pads.
Let's
if I don't have the muscles yet, I'll get the pads on so that way it looks like I'm.
We should do two different outfits. Like go to one party as a like Harry Potter themed or Star Wars themed couple, and then the other one we go as Travis and Taylor or at school or something.
I know tons of people are going to be doing that. So too, you know, it's just like we'll have to get the hair right.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. Anyway. So Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah.
I had a question for you. Do you think there was a similar celeb status when Ginny Potter was playing and Harry Potter was in the stands rooting for his
wife? Oh my gosh, probably.
And everyone was like going crazy over the fact that Mr. Harry Potter is in the stands watching his wife.
Crazy.
Play Quidditch.
Yeah. The crazy thing, it's like they were already kind of dating coming out of Hogwarts, so there's that. But I guess if you're growing up and you didn't know them, and then you started to kind of fall in love with Ginny as a Quidditch player. And then you realize, oh my gosh, she's also with, like, this titan, you know, in the Wizarding world, Harry Potter.
And now he's,
oh my gosh,
I think, the head of the Aura office.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, big deal. Power couple.
Yes, they are.
It's fun. Actually, we did a really cool poll over on our YouTube page where we went over power couple. Who's leading? I got it right here. Let me see who's leading.
Yeah, who's leading? Tell
because
me.
We basically,
had a couple of questions.
Yeah, what were the different questions? Because you had power couple in
Harry
the
Potter. Power couple in Harry Potter. Who's the, you know, what did I say?
So best couple.
Best power couple in Harry Potter.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yep.
Which right now leading that is actually Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
Let's go.
Wow. And second place is Jacob and Queenie. And then Newt and Tina are in third. But, you know, they're our favorites. Most underrated couple in Harry Potter.
Tell us.
Fleur and Bill, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go. 64% like just blows everybody else out of the water. Like
everyone wants more Fleur and Bill.
It's amazing to see how Harry Potter fans are just like, Fleur and Bill, freaking.
They're awesome.
They rule.
Please check out Magic by Michaela's video about Fleur. It's hilarious. I think I just adore her.
Right.
She's so funny. She's doing such a good job. Everyone was always like, Fleur, yes, she's a great person, but then she says this one line where, like, I'm beautiful enough for both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's
okay.
True, so, you know, and I.
But she plays it off so well, so, go follow Michaela. Mm-hmm. You probably already have, but.
See, now my Fleur is too humble to say that, but I'll go ahead and say it for our little a relationship couple, power couple right here, that she's carrying the good looks. So appreciate you.
Stop.
Appreciate you.
You're a handsome man.
So. Okay. So that was
okay, let's talk about something
else. Okay. Best power couple in Harry Potter. Best power couple. Best. Molly and Arthur.
Let's go.
Wow.
I didn't expect anything else from the fandom. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. No, and I think tied, though, interestingly, is tied in second place Remus and Tonks at 17% and Ron and Hermione at 17%.
Let's go.
Yeah. There I actually really like that. People are not a huge fan of Harry and Ginny. I've heard, but I love it. In the books, love their relationship, and I think it's awesome. So,
well, people think Hermione and Harry belong together, but I disagree.
No. Mm-hmm. They're besties.
Sorry.
Like, out on that. I mean, she loves Ron. Yep. She's, you know, that's been hinted at the whole time. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Anyway.
And, let us know, before we dive into trivia training, who was another underrated couple? That was kind of unexpected that people voted for them.
Oh, another underrated couple? Let me see here. So, oh my gosh. Okay, well, so Fleur and Belle were the underrated, you know, most rated underrated couple at 64%. And then at 15% is actually Narcissa and Lucius.
Yes.
But then followed by them is Vernon and Petunia.
I put them up there and I was like, you know, we'll see if someone clicks, if someone actually says, but they are arguing all the crazy stuff they're going through, and never once has Vernon complained to Petunia, "This is your nephew, you brought this into my life." Never once. We don't see that one. I mean, we don't really know what happens behind closed doors, you know.
Here we go. Petunia was all for Vernon moving the family to the middle of nowhere if it means that Harry...
True.
Can be unhappy. Well, I think they meant to say, well, I was thinking, that. I was reading that as like Vernon could be happy. But, you know, people got pretty, they got pretty mean in there about the Dursleys. People do.
I mean, the Dursleys, they're horrible people, but they give them credit for being like as a couple,
right?
What they go through and how strong their relationship is.
I like their house. I like their house. I like their backyard. I like their hedge line. I think it looks good. You know what I mean? So, goals.
In German, people will call it, they're such Spieße. I don't even know what that would be. Like someone who's so typical. They have their typical house, tree, job. Everything's so super typical.
I like that. Yeah. I like it. Let's go.
Nothing outside the
norm. I also like the
Burrow. They want to be the most normal people in the world, right?
Right. I also like the Burrow, so I like a mix and match. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think that's maybe why I defend Vernon and Petunia sometimes when we started this podcast. Is because I was just like, I don't know. If you get rid of all the other stuff, I just think I have neighbors. So I saw these two neighbors who were all about, like, they looked like Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia, like up, and just delightful, very nice, pleasant, but very normal, very just like into the normal things that everyone else is in the know on, and reading their paper out on their back porch, doing their thing, and then mowing grass and trimming the hedge line. And like they and my dad like kept up their yards pristine.
Oh yeah,
it was like if my dad was mowing, then Uncle Vernon across the street was mowing. Yeah. Vice versa.
Yeah,
he'd be like, I gotta get out there and mow. Like,
that's awesome.
It was wild. So
I mean, yes, your dad's backyard looks tippy toppy all the time.
Yeah,
love
it. He's crazy. Okay. Well, moving on. Let's get some training done.
Oh yeah. As you can see, I have one question for today, and there is some choices, so you don't
multiple
have to
choice.
Know the answer. Mm. From
my memory?
Memory.
Okay.
What's memory? Okay, question. What is the full name of the author of The Monster Book of Monsters, a textbook required for the Care of Magical Creatures class in Harry's third year at Hogwarts? Is it A, Edwardus Lima or Lima? B, Quentin Trimble? C, Libatius Borich? Libatius? Probably Libatius. Sorry if I mispronounce them. A, Edwardus Lima.
Uh-huh.
Quentin Trimble. Or C, Libatius Borich.
I was trying to figure out whether when you were stumbling over them, like if you hadn't come up with the options yourself. But where did you get all these names from? All three of these names. Did you create them or did you get them from
They're all actual authors? Names from the Harry Potter series.
Dang.
None of them are made up.
I'm going to go with B.
B, Quentin Trimble.
No. It's not that one. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I knew that. I mean, that. Come on. I'm just messing with you, okay?
Okay.
So, it's B.
Are you sure?
Right? I mean, Quentin Trimble. You're trembling because the Monster Book of Monsters is so scary. It makes you tremble.
Okay.
So, B.
Yeah, I mean, sounds plausible.
But it's wrong. What's the first? This A. It's A.
It's A.
Gosh, dang. I knew it was
Ward A. And Wardis Lima. He wrote the Monster Book of Monsters. Quentin Trimble is mentioned in the series as the author of The Dark Forces, A Guide to Self-Protection.
Whoa.
And this was the textbook they got for the first year.
Okay.
So that was a textbook that Quirrell put on the list.
Nice. Okay.
And Libatius Borich is also an author of...
How do you spell Libatius?
Libatius. Is that how you say his name? Libatius?
Yeah.
Libatius?
Libatius.
Libatius? Maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
He wrote several potions books, including... including... I'm turning it...
What's going on, Flem?
Including advanced potion making and magical drafts and potions.
You know, some people might have thought what I just said right there was really mean. I'm totally just kidding, by the way.
Oh, so Libatius, sorry.
Libatius.
He wrote advanced potion making. He was not as good as Professor Snape, obviously.
Interesting.
His recipes didn't include all the good tips and tricks.
So you remember when we were up at Catawba? We were up at Catawba Island,
yes.
And we met with, I don't know if I should say her name, it doesn't matter. We know her as Joan.
Yeah.
Or Joan, right? We actually
Oh my gosh.
So not,
sorry.
What
sorry,
if that
Joan.
Was, what if she wrote in? What if that's her? We actually don't know. Anyway, sorry.
We
would probably know. No, but we were up there and we were meeting with some of, you know, you're from that area kind of, essentially. I kind of say you have family up there in Port Clinton in that area.
I do.
And
former
so
host family.
We go up there from time to time. Beautiful place. You get to go up there to Kelly's Island. What else is it? Put-in Bay. Put-in Bay is up there just off the coast of Catawba or Port Clinton, you know.
Yes.
So we're up there and we're like, going over to visit this individual, member of the church from your host mom, family, just meeting, and she lives in a really nice spot.
Great,
and
wonderful house.
I think we were even recruiting my dad to maybe work on the deck out front and everything, and she asked us to come in and have some libations, right? Some libations, you remember that?
Yes!
And I was like, what is she talking about? It is a drink poured out as an offering to a deity, right? So it was her sort of way of like,
okay,
you know, celebrating, being kind of...
Okay.
Clever about how she was, I'm drinking, but it's for God.
Oh,
right.
Okay,
it was funny. And that's then you think hilarious. Of potions and you think of like this being
a potions
like
master.
Exactly.
Or just, an author for potions books.
Someone who's making these drinks that are kind
that's
of
awesome.
Godly. Yeah, right. Or they have other powers
that's
to
awesome.
Them. So it's cool.
Next time I'll give you a matching task. Where you have to match the names and I give you the different books. Maybe that will help.
Good. Gotcha. You ready? I have a question for you.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a joke. All right. What is the first name of the executioner in this chapter?
Walden.
Gosh dang it. I thought I had
Where is Walden?
Where is Walden in this? Well, he's not doing an execution, okay? Because...
No, he's trying to get the Dementors.
Yeah,
oh, fun fact.
Is.
Walden. Yeah. He had to... We'll learn this in this chapter. He had to sign the papers, not... In the books and the movies, it was Dumbledore too, but actually, Dumbledore never signs the papers in the book for the execution.
Dang.
It was Walden.
Differences. Why change it? Anyway, good job. Good job.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
See, I do learn something by making up these trivia questions.
Yeah, you do.
And
Mortis. I don't know that I'm going to remember that one, though. Lima?
Lima beans.
Lima.
Don't know.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, you could. I give you an Eselsbrücke. Remember what an Eselsbrücke is? Like your donkey bridge? Donkey bridge.
A mnemonic.
The thing that helps you remember or connect certain
A donkey bridge.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We call it a donkey bridge.
Yeah.
Is Edwardis. Sounds like Edward, and Edward is a monster.
Okay, I got you.
He's a vampire.
I got you. Twilight references. Let's go.
I wonder if Edwardus Lima knew Newt Scamander, because they're both, they wrote books about beasts.
Probably. That'd be cool. Too bad we're not going to get any more Fantastic. Oh, by the way, be on the lookout for an upcoming theory that I have. I'm going to try to drop some shorts and long form on this. And
you're going to drop your shorts.
Wow. I'm going to drop some shorts.
Wow.
No, not this episode. But what's wrong with you? It's two episodes in a row where you're just being silly.
I have to read the summary, so I got to get
Yeah, you need to get composed.
I got
to
get a serious face.
You've got to get... She's more awake, guys. So it's a weekend, so mm-hmm. Lottie's well-rested. I think we won't have any problems like we had last time.
None.
I'll be dropping something about Nagini. So if you guys have thoughts on that. Again, the outpost is always open. We'd love to feature some of your thoughts and theories, you know, in terms of a video. It could be a whole... like a whole video dedicated to that, or it could just be a quick mention here in the podcast, but we're doing clips on those things too. So be ready, be prepared, friends.
Yes, send us these owls.
Send us these owls. All right.
Okay. Are you ready for the chapter?
Ready.
All righty. Chapter 21, Hermione's Secret. Later that night, after the Dementors attack, Harry wakes up in the hospital wing. He keeps his eyes shut for a while to listen in on a conversation between Cornelius Fudge and Snape. The minister keeps praising Snape for his heroic act of catching Sirius Black. It takes him a couple of minutes until Harry realizes what is being said. Snape captured Sirius, and they still think he's guilty. Harry opens his eyes and sees Hermione in the bed next to him. She's awake too. Madame Pomfrey comes over to check on both of them, but when she informs them that Sirius is safely locked up and will be kissed by a Dementor any moment now, the two jump out of bed at once. Fudge and Snape enter the room. Desperately, Harry and Hermione try to explain to the minister what really happened and that Sirius is innocent, but Snape insists that they have been confounded by Black and don't know what they're saying. None of the adults seem to believe them, until Dumbledore enters the hospital wing. He asks to speak to Harry and Hermione alone. This causes Snape to panic. It is his moment of glory, his revenge. He caught Sirius Black. Surely Dumbledore doesn't believe Black and the kids. But Dumbledore insists, and Snape has no choice. He turns around and leaves. They don't have much time. Dumbledore sharply explains that he does believe them, but there's no proof for Sirius' innocence, except for their word. The only way to rescue him and perhaps another innocent life is to go back in time. He tells them where Sirius is kept, and reminds them again and again, they must not be seen by anyone. And with that, the headmaster leaves, locking the door behind him. While Harry has no clue what's going on, Hermione pulls out a golden chain with a little hourglass attached to it. She wraps it around her and Harry's neck, turns the hourglass three times, and moments later they find themselves in the deserted entrance hall. Hermione pulls a confused Harry into a broom cupboard and explains to him that they have just gone 3 hours back in time. She has been using this time turner all year long to take several classes at the same time, but wasn't allowed to tell anyone. Yet now they're on a mission. They need to intervene with tonight's events to save more than one innocent life. Harry and Hermione quickly figure out that it is Buckbeak they need to save first in order to fly up to the window where Sirius is kept and help him to get away on the Hippogriff's back. So they sneak over to Hagrid's hut. To remain unseen, they find shelter on the edge of the Forbidden Forest. From there, they watch their own past selves enter Hagrid's cabin and leave again right when the Ministry Committee and Dumbledore arrive. They wait until the past versions of Harry, Hermione, and Ron are out of sight. Finally, Harry runs over to Buckbeak and unties him. He's extremely lucky that Dumbledore reminds McNair to sign the paperwork too. This gives him those precious extra seconds he needs. Harry bows before Buckbeak, the Hippogriff bows back, and Harry musters all his strength to lead the large beast by its rope into the forest. They manage to get out of sight right when McNair and the others step out of the hut. Yet they can still hear the executioner swinging his axe into the fence out of fury, Hagrid's happy sobs, and Dumbledore's amused voice. A moment later, the adults have all gone back inside, and Buckbeak, Harry, and Hermione are left in silence. The three move along the edge of the dark forest, closer to the Whomping Willow, until they find a spot from where they can watch the events unseen. Like a movie playing in front of them, they watch first themselves enter the tunnel under the willow, then Lupin, and finally, Snape. They have to be on guard constantly. Harry almost gets seen by a tipsy Hagrid when he attempts to go out and grab the invisibility cloak before Snape can reach it. Thankfully, Hermione pulls him back. She knows they can't mess this up. They must not be seen by anyone. Now, the two just have to wait for their past selves to come back out from the tunnel. They sit down for a moment, and Hermione shares a concern with Harry, something she doesn't quite understand. How come the hundreds of Dementors had let go of them and Sirius earlier? What drove them away? Harry admits that, even though it sounds crazy, he thinks it was his dad he saw on the other side of the lake, casting an enormous Patronus in the form of an animal that saved them. Hermione's face saddens, but she's being honest with Harry and tells him that this unfortunately can't be true. Harry is deep in thought, and the two don't talk much for a good hour until they spot their past selves emerge from the Whomping Willow. It was incredibly hard for Harry to stay put, watch the events unfold again, and not do anything about it. Once more, they witness Professor Lupin transform into a werewolf. Suddenly, Harry realizes they have to move, right now. Because, he remembers, Werewolf Lupin will come running towards them any second now. So they sprint back to Hagrid's hut and seek refuge inside the now deserted cabin. But minutes later, Harry decides to go back out. He needs to keep an eye on what's happening down by the lake, and he secretly hopes to catch a glimpse of whoever had cast the Patronus. Hiding behind a bush, right by the water, he can see himself, Sirius, and Hermione on the other side collapsing one by one. He waits and waits, but no one's coming to their rescue. And then, it finally clicks. Harry jumps out from the bush, and with the confidence that he's already done before, he conjures a bright, powerful Patronus in the shape of a stag. The beautiful, luminant animal chases the Dementors away, and when it returns to Harry, he recognizes who his Patronus is. It is Prongs, his father's animagus. The Patronus disappears, and Hermione comes running toward Harry, terrified about how much Harry had interfered with the past. At the same time, she's extremely impressed with the power of Harry's corporeal Patronus. Before they can discuss it any further, though, they watch Snape show up at the scene. The potions master captures Sirius and makes the unconscious bodies of Harry, Hermione, and Ron float alongside him. This way, he moves all four of them up to the castle. Harry and Hermione get ready because they know it's almost time. And when a few minutes later, they notice McNair leave the castle to get the Dementors, they both mount Buckbeak and take off into the clear night sky. Once they arrive at the window of Flitwick's office, Hermione magically unlocks the window, and a surprised Sirius quickly climbs on the Hippogriff's back. They fly up to the West Tower, where Harry and Hermione jump off. There is no time for a long farewell. Sirius is still in shock over their bravery, and unable to fully express his gratitude. He just assures Harry that they will see each other again. With that, he and Buckbeak take flight, and soon their figures become smaller and smaller until they vanish into the darkness of the night sky.
Wow. What a trip back in time.
Uh-huh.
Just yeah. Unbelievable. Isn't it interesting that Dumbledore knows exactly how far back in time they need to go?
Yes.
A man in the present, okay, faced in the situation where he needs more time, but how much time, you know? And he just thinks, I might need you. He already knows what's interesting, and we brought this up before. At the time that he says to Hermione, we need more time, three turns ought to do it, he already knows that Buckbeak has been saved.
Yes.
And he literally says more than one, right? I think more than one innocent life might be spared tonight.
Exactly.
He already knows that one has been. So the theory out there and the idea is that Dumbledore basically saw the evidence of time travel.
Yes.
Right? As he's there, he somehow started to notice it. Like magic leaves traces.
Yep.
And so in a sense, this time travel bit with time turners, it does also have a charm. It has a charm on the time turner that limits it to a certain amount of time that you can go back and take back and reclaim.
Yeah.
So he is able to sense that power, essentially, as he's in Hagrid's hut, and makes the decision to stall for more time.
Oh, you mean by reminding McNair to I think so.
I think he does.
Yeah,
it
he
might
doesn't
be
seem like a picky,
just,
like, oh, we all got to make sure that everyone signs who needs to sign type of person.
Uh-huh.
But he's like...
Right. He needs,
he needs to say something. Yeah.
Just the right... By the, I mean, in that in this chapter, Harry says, it gave him the few precious seconds that he needed to make the escape.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is done because of... And what gave those seconds to him was Dumbledore's actions.
Yes.
So if you want to call that, I mean, it's just too much of a coincidence to say that's what happened. And then afterwards, some people will argue that Dumbledore just saw the evidence of time travel after maybe Buckbeak was saved.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he saw evidence of it on the way down. He also knows that he has a time traveling student and probably has been noticing evidence of that or, you know, residual magic or whatever in Hogwarts because Hermione is doing this and she's trusted to do it, right? Very few students are. So it's an interesting thing they've petitioned for. He's the headmaster. He needs to keep a close eye on all these things. That's actually his job at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Lord Voldemort's not back yet. So he's still running his school and preparing Harry and his friends. So I just think it's cool. I think it's really cool that he knows exactly the time to send them back to.
Yes.
To make sure that Buckbeak is good. Because, he's lining all that up in his mind. So.
Yeah, I like that you said he probably already knows that. I mean, he knows that Buckbeak is saved because back in time, Buckbeak was already gone. When they came out the cabin,
he's gone.
McNair was mad. They went back in. He and Hagrid had a brandy. So he knows Buckbeak is safe. That means but he still needs to go on tell Harry and Hermione. Because otherwise they never go back in time and save Buckbeak.
Right.
But I think he doesn't know yet if they actually succeed in rescuing Sirius. Because that's why he says, it's interesting, we all think he says more than one innocent life.
He knows
they already saved Buckbeak, so he's actually talking about Sirius here. Yeah. And we all think he talks about someone else besides Sirius.
Yeah, true, true.
So, that's interesting.
Trippy. just kind of unbelievable.
Trippy time travel.
Yeah.
But before we get into their journey in time, back in time, I want to talk about Snape for a second.
Yeah.
And Snape tells the minister, so we open this chapter with their conversation. Harry and Hermione are in the beds of the hospital wing and they hear the minister and Snape talk. And Snape says they were confounded.
Yeah.
Now, I believe Snape is smart enough to know full well they weren't.
Yeah.
But I think this is such an extraordinary night for him. I think he's not himself right now at all.
Yeah.
And it helped me when I read, I looked back into Irvin Kateman's book about Dumbledore, and he describes the scene very well, how this and the next chapter, Dumbledore's treatment of Snape is very crucial in their relationship coming next year, that they kind of broke apart for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for Snape, this is extremely triggering for many reasons, right? It's because back in the day, he almost got killed.
Yeah, he did.
Because Sirius sent him to Lupin, to the werewolf. And
this night,
Sirius got away with it. He didn't get expelled. We don't know what his punishment even was for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Snape, on the other hand, he argues, was punished by keeping his mouth shut. He couldn't tell anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you shouldn't tell anyone about Lupin. It's not his fault. But also that means someone like Sirius, who played that prank on him, which could have been deadly, he couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah, great point. So what
that
was
one?
Yeah, what was the punishment for that? It's like they set him up. They could have accidentally got him killed.
Yeah.
And yet we don't hear that they were intentional. I'm sure that they were. I'm sure that Dumbledore probably knows how serious that was and said, hey, you guys are coming, you know, Sirius is coming to detention with him personally. It's not something that you assign to other teachers, right?
No, yeah.
So, because otherwise they're asking, well, why is Sirius Black in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you that because that would let you know that I've allowed a werewolf to come in. Did the other professors know? I'm trying to remember if they knew. I'm guessing they did. I'm guessing that the staff, I think they did. I think the staff did know to some degree.
I think so too.
Because that's a pretty big secret to kind of keep.
Yeah, and you have to kind of tell them why Lupin every month feels a little rough and maybe will not attend classes for some time.
Yeah, also why they shouldn't respond to the rumors out there at the Shrieking Shack too. Yeah, yeah, so. But either way, I still think it's something that, I bet he was given some form of punishment or detention. But then Snape is told just to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Right? And
yes,
try to have some understanding for why Dumbledore is allowing this
werewolf
to come to school.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. And the other thing that absolutely bothers Snape is that he thinks that Sirius is partially responsible for Lily's death, right? He blames James and Sirius and their arrogance.
Yep.
And then obviously Sirius for telling on the Potters that they're responsible. And I think it's one way for him to kind of brush off his own responsibility and kind of find someone to blame other than him. Because he has that inside of himself. He blames himself. He was the one who actually told Voldemort about the prophecy.
You know, if I saw something, we were thinking about this, kind of an interesting thing, right? So I did a short recently about Sectum Sempra. So Harry dabbles with dark magic and he uses a dark curse and almost gets someone killed, Draco.
Yeah.
Snape saves him and he saves Harry from that that guilt that he would have in terms of Draco's death, right? Yeah. There is no one to save Snape from the guilt that he feels in turn. And that's why maybe in this chapter he is trying to blame Sirius Black more. Like, hey, we had this protection set up.
Yes.
You know, Dumbledore was protecting things. You messed it up.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I dabbled and I tried to make it right. Mm-hmm. And ultimately it failed. Harry, and it failed in terms of like, he lost people that he loved.
Yeah.
And Harry dabbles and there is no, you know, Snape saves him from having to face the same guilt.
Yeah.
Guilty conscious of losing someone like that he had to face. You know, does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. So. We heard that in Laurie Kim's book about Snape. Awesome. That's where we got it from, the Sectum Sempra thing. It really blew my mind when she talked about it like this, because there's something that Snape mumbles that we can't really hear, but you can kind of put your own interpretation into it. And he was in charge of Draco. He was his protector that year. And there might be more than we give Snape credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of protecting, like his protective feelings for Draco.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, just to your point about Sirius Black, though, it's like because he felt like he was taking all the right steps to make amends for telling the prophecy and for doing all those different things. Mm-hmm. He's helping
Getting
Dumbledore.
Revenge.
He's turned double agent, all that kind of stuff, whatever it takes. And he's really trying to protect Lily Potter now. He's on that side. And to him, it feels like Sirius messed this up.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Dumbledore, you're still going to believe this guy. He tried to get me killed. He messed up everything with the... what he believes right now is that Sirius is the one who betrayed them.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, that drives him insane. Really, in his mind, he is the good guy who came forward and said, I messed up. I'm sorry. Here's what's going on. And in his eyes, he sees Sirius as the person who betrayed everyone and literally is evil and is what the whole wizarding community believes, that he is like Voldemort's number two guy, right? Number one guy, whatever. And so that is, it's bothersome for him, and he can't let it go. And then now to see, up until this point, Dumbledore thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, Dumbledore goes in and people believe that he uses legitimacy to read Sirius Black's mind and to ascertain that he is telling the truth. He comes in, he hears the kids, same thing. He in a moment just boom. He doesn't even have to think about it. He can just peek in there, the little kids. He can tell if they're telling the truth or not.
Right.
And they are.
And
so
I think
Sirius.
Because Dumbledore, he can also tell if somebody's confounded or not. And I think because Dumbledore is not out of his mind, we talked about this earlier, and we said Snape knows that they're not confounded, and he just tries to tell the minister to kind of protect them from, or to explain why they acted the way they acted. But I think he convinced himself in this moment, even though he's smarter than that, he probably deep down knows they were not confronted, but for him it didn't make sense for them to act like that if they were not. So I think he convinced himself,
yeah, sure,
somehow, no, they must have been confronted by Lupin and Black somehow.
Right. Well, in his mind, I would think, like, thinking all the way back to when Sirius Black did what he did, no one expected it. So he's someone who killed all these muggles, blew up Peter Pettigrew, betrayed the... you never would have saw it coming. Yeah. And so for him, it's easy for him, even though he's a brilliant wizard, to be in there in the moment and think, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear the whole story, right? That was the whole point. He wasn't there to hear everything. Right. So he can only assume that they must have been confronted some way.
Yeah.
All right? That had to have been. Then they attack me. Yeah. They're attacking... Are you kidding me? They're attacking me, Minister. So then he's actually playing sort of a noble...
Yeah.
Individual, right? Who's just kind of like, look, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here because, like, I was fooled by this guy. Everyone was fooled by Sirius Black back in the day. Yeah. So, Minister, this is what's sort of going on. And we got to, you know, although I will say they get away with a lot
even
of crap.
Though, yes.
I mean, let's make
suspended.
Sure. Right.
I try to treat him like any other student. Cough, cough.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
You know, I mean, I think actually, too. That Snape probably in this moment when he has captured Black and brings him back and the Dementor's kiss is being performed, I really believe that he is thinking in his own mind, I have avenged Lily Potter.
Yeah.
It's done. I have fulfilled my duty. I have played this double agent role. Sure, I can continue on. Maybe Lord Voldemort will come back. At the time, they have evidence that this is going to happen whatsoever.
He probably thinks this is all... I mean, I don't know how much Dumbledore told him about what he thinks is going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more than we think, but...
Maybe, yeah.
Right now, nothing really points towards Voldemort's return.
Right, and at least he's going to protect him while he is young until he becomes an adult.
Right, they all think they have more time.
They think it's... Right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's going to be well into Harry's adult years where he'll maybe have to face a returning Lord Voldemort. But there's just nothing, you know, Fudge, all of the wizarding world can't believe it would happen. Mm-hmm. It's assumed that also Snape would, you know, I mean, could fall into that category too, want to go into denial and think it's not going to happen. But what has happened is that the person who everyone does blame and believe, truly believed in prison for 12 years in Azkaban, betraying the Potters, like that person, has escaped, and Snape has now caught them and turned them in. So in his mind, he's thinking, Lily would be so proud of me. She would be so happy that I did this. I protected her son. I'm still protecting her son because he's over here. He might not have been confounded. Maybe he just believed and assumed this is his father's best friend. He somehow got tricked into believing his story.
Yeah.
But I'm better than that. And it's just to have it all, for there to be no explanation and Dumbledore to just dismiss him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of time. He doesn't have time. And the Dementor's kiss is not something that you can reverse.
Yeah.
So if he was just imprisoned again, you would have time to get more data, more evidence, and present a case. But
there's
no
time.
Yeah.
And that's the crucial point here, that Dumbledore just dismisses him. And that's what Snape really hurts Snape in this moment.
Right.
Also, who's been hurt is Cornelius Fudge, and I think even though this is not the only reason why, but it starts off the new relationship soon to come between Harry and the Minister, is when Fudge tries to tell Harry, lie back down. You know, they're all agitated because they're trying to tell them Sirius is innocent. And so Fudge is like, Harry, you're confused. You've been through a dreadful ordeal. Lie back down. Now we've got everything under control. And Harry shouts at him, "You haven't. You've got the wrong man." And I think this, you don't have everything under control. This is what Fudge, he's haunted by that, right?
Yeah.
It starts with this whole ordeal with Black, not catching Black, not knowing where he is, not being able to control this. And this unfortunately develops into him just denying everything.
Yeah, it will turn into his downfall because for the wizarding community, they want to hear from Fudge. Yeah, they want to hear from Fudge. We got him. Right. And actually what they do hear, the rumor is from the students that they did get him and he still got away.
Yeah.
So Fudge had him and somehow he still slipped away.
Even worse. Right? It would have been actually in this case, if he had listened to Harry, everything would have been way better for him because then
it would have been.
Yes, it would be like a little.
He solved a mystery.
Like, yeah, they solved the mystery and they caught Peter. Well, or now they are looking for Peter Pettigrew.
Rewrite history.
Exactly. But instead, it's even more embarrassing that again Black got away and we still again or are still looking for him.
Right. It's amazing. That's what I mean. It's amazing that nobody went to the kids and did a memory extraction or Veritas serum.
Oh yeah, this whole, we have to kind of take that out of the equation because no one understands there is Veritas serum. It seems like Snape has some in his office ready to go because when Umbridge later asks him, he has a little bit of...
Sure, and I get that at this point in time in the book series and the whole real world part of it, that it's not invented yet or whatever, that she's not come up with some of these ideas.
Yeah.
But I will say this, though, is that you also have, you know, the word of Remus Lupin, a werewolf.
Right.
Can't trust him, right?
Or
kids,
can't, right
can't
now
trust
we can't
the
talk,
kids
yeah, it's,
because
it's
the kids
all
are just
about
kids.
Trust
right, yeah.
Evidence.
So they're all saying these things. They're all saying that Peter Pettigrew is the guy, and but really all... Cornelius Fudge is someone to, he just needs someone to blame.
Yeah.
He needs Peter Pettigrew. But he has, there's no way, there's no evidence, as Dumbledore says, to convince him or anyone else. And so that's what's sort of mind blowing is that, you know.
I mean, he can't even convince the ministry to wait. Not just to, not to say, okay, you got the wrong man, you have to let him go. No, just wait a little bit until we investigated this more because these kids are saying something that might be might be onto something. That might be true. We don't know. So just postpone the kiss and just lock him up again. Well, they might argue, well, we locked him up once. It didn't work. He can escape again. But
There's different ways. There's different ways. They just choose to use Azkaban prison. So anyway, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy unfortunate that like...
Yeah.
Because I want to... I like rooting for Cornelius Fudge. I actually think he's an interesting wizard. And I think he's this... fun can be like a during a time of peace when there's not a war going on. You know, he's more into the economics business. He feels like a business politician.
He's
and somebody
a little ridiculous.
Who's,
he makes himself more important than he is.
Right, but
I
he's
mean,
also
he,
jolly. He's also pretty jolly and easygoing and trying to see the like the lighter side. So then, when things get more serious, and the pressure mounts, he wants to immediately quell those things and starts to kind of, he himself is fearful. He knows the community's trying. He doesn't have all the answers in terms of all of that. Now, everyone will argue too, he's also been writing Dumbledore, right, for years now to kind of like get his advice on stuff, which is fine. You should seek out your advisors. And for some reason, when it came to Lord Voldemort or his followers, Cornelius Fudge falls apart.
Yes.
So
he's not the right man for this particular time.
He's also being influenced by Lucius Malfoy. And other Death Eaters who are you know, high ranking and up there, right? Old pure blood families. So okay. What else you got?
Well, then there is urgency to stall for time to get more time. Harry has no clue what Dumbledore's talking about. He can't explain it. He counts on Hermione to lead this mission.
Yeah, for
which is awesome. I love how it's described. How his eyes flicker over like from Harry. He says, we need more time, and his eyes flicker over
to Hermione.
Hermione.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
You lead this mission now.
It is your time.
It is your time to shine even more.
Right.
It's awesome. It's actually epic.
Yeah.
And
she's a little boss.
Yeah.
She's an absolute boss. She just goes out
there.
She
needs a second
to
get her panic out of the way.
Right, yeah.
And then, now I know what you're talking about. Normally, she's so fast, but now she needs a second. And then once she knows, she's locked in. She knows where to go. She knows what to do.
And she also is very good at, once they get into this moment, she's like, okay, explaining things to Harry, you know, keeping them safe, keeping them outside of interference or violating laws of time and stuff like that. She's doing all those different things.
She knows how serious this is.
She does. And then she'll turn to Harry, though, and say, what do you think? She also knows he's a leader. Yeah. And she, being a good leader, will turn to him and say, okay, need your advice here. How's the best way to accomplish this? Should we skirt along the Forbidden Forest? What should we do? We have to keep out of sight. Yeah. Right. And this after they get Buckbeak, same thing. What do we do, Harry? So, like, here's what we can't do. Mm-hmm. Right. Here are the parameters we need that you can operate in. Mm-hmm. But like, what can we do? And it's just amazing. Yeah. It's just so well written. And she does such a great job. And she is just clutch.
I love that Hermione, that they go on this adventure, just the two of them.
Yeah.
Because last year it was Ron and Harry. Right. Hermione couldn't help. Hermione was knocked out.
Yeah.
Now it's Ron who can't help. True. So they have to function in different constellations as a team. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. And in both scenarios, Harry ends up alone in a crucial moment where he has to, I mean, where Harry steps up in both moments. So we're going to get to this in a second here. But what's interesting in the book, and I really don't remember this, and I have no idea how really, it leaves me scratching my head a little bit, because she turns to time Turner three times, and they travel back in time but also in place. So in the movie we see them in the hospital wing, and it's actually very well done how the people around them just sped up, go backwards, you know, like you actually get the feeling of in a few seconds you travel back in time, but they're still in the hospital wing in the same room, and it's just deserted, and they have to go from there. Whereas in the book it's let me read this. Yeah. So it's very different. Hermione turns the hourglass over three times and the dark ward dissolves. Harry had the sensation that he was flying very fast backward. A blur of colors and shapes rushed past him. His ears were pounding. He tried to yell but couldn't hear his own voice. And then he felt solid ground beneath his feet and everything came into focus again. He was standing next to Hermione in the deserted entrance hall, and a stream of golden sunlight was falling across the paved floor from the open front doors.
Now, I'm telling you, so this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because it does sort of help you with your placement. You as a time turner in a school for the single purpose of just going to class, you're able to sort of control the launching off point. You always know where you are, right? When you went to class, you know you went back an hour. You know that you're in Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Yeah.
So as you leave Defense Against the Dark Arts and you go back an hour, instead of staying right outside of that classroom, you actually go back to the entry hall.
So you're not closet. Into... Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. So that way you're not catching yourself coming into Defense Against the Dark Arts, right?
Yeah.
So as you're coming in to the classroom... Right. And then when you come back out, if you go back in time 1 hour, you might see yourself coming into that classroom. So that would be a problem. So instead, in the book, the way it works is that we're going to go back an hour. And actually, instead of just going back in time, we're going to move in location
as well.
Down to the great hall, the entry hall. Yeah. And it looks like you're in a closet. I mean, right? It looks like you got to step out of a closet. So anybody walking by there is like, Hermione is like doing a quick like wardrobe change here.
I know. I think so. My theory how it works is, like you said, Hermione has to be extremely careful who she's been, like who's seeing her when she travels in time, right? It says you can't be seen by anyone. Well, you can't really do that if you go to a class full of students teacher.
Sure.
But so she has to be extremely careful who she runs into, because people talk to each other. I mean, they already know, like, okay, Hermione seems to be in Muggle studies while she's also in divination or whatever. Mm-hmm. And no one really seems to care.
Yeah.
But I think how the time turner is programmed, air quote programmed, is... that it will help you pop up in a place that's close to either where you were or where you need to go, plus a place where no one's at, so you don't just pop out of nowhere in front of different students.
Gotcha. So you don't think it's always that same location or that same spot that she's going to?
I think the time turner helps you to be undetected, like to really as if it knows where no one's around right now, and that's where you pop up.
Yeah, because it does have a charm on it that does limit the amount of time that you can go back, because it is a control thing with the ministry, and they want to make sure that that it is top secret, right? And she's trustworthy. So that would make sense, too, if she's in Defense Against the Dark Arts and she's thinking, I want to go back an hour in time. Maybe she has to be intentional in her mind and think, I want to go back.
I think you can give it a direction,
right?
But the time turner helps you because you don't really know back in time where there was a place where no one's around. So the time turner kind of helps you with that, but you can give it a gentle direction that's where I want to go.
It would almost need like Marauder map access.
Yeah.
You know, to know kind of where things are.
It could be a similar kind of magic that they use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be crazy because we know that exists, and it's actually in this very book where we learn about the Marauder's map and the time turner together. So those two pieces of magic, that's cool to think that it would just be able to pop you in and out. Or I wonder what J.K. Rowling thinks about that, though. Is it really, is it just the same closet that she goes to? Is there a designated spot where time turners, because maybe there's more than one time turner at school, right? And do they all just sort of pop in and out of that same closet? Would that be a problem? Or would there be like a small room where each of them is sort of like, hey, hi, how's it going? Yeah. And like Percy's also traveling back in time. She's traveling back in time to hit their classes, and they're in this designated room, and then they're off and running to their next class.
Well, it doesn't seem like they don't pop up in the closet, but actually
she pulls him into the
entrance hall. And then Harry is so confused that she's like, come in here. She pulls him into the closet and explains everything to him. And then they hear, and she also knows they're on their way, like their past selves are on their way down to Hagrid's hut. So she knows they're going to come by any minute. So they go into the closet, listen, they hear themselves.
That's interesting, though, is that it put, see, that's why I think it's just a designated spot. And because it almost puts her in the path of her former self.
True, but what happens? Wouldn't you think if that was just how it works, that Hermione would have been seen by people just...
Yeah. I think right now when Dumbledore is saying you can't be seen, he really just means like we're doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Right? When you're using the time turner legally, I don't think it matters that like she left her classmates up in the Defense Against the Dark Arts room and she went back an hour in time to a different set of students.
Then she materializes in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm saying like there needs to be a private spot because she would all of a sudden they would turn and she would just be gone, right? So she also is like taking that out, stepping over to the side and then turning it. So is she always leaving Ron and Hermione and ducking into a room or a closet? Like you know what I'm saying? So they would just turn around and she'd be gone.
Hmm.
Can she just what if someone was walking behind Ron and Harry and they see Hermione just vanish?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They would, yeah. So she has to go somewhere.
She has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But interesting, though. Careful. I never thought about the fact that she's moving in location as well as time, too. So
That's definitely new.
Yeah, different.
And then, the two just go on their mission, and they are successful rescuing Buckbeak because, thankfully, Dumbledore stalls for time a little bit.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm going to say something about that later. I love how Buckbeak acts and is described in this chapter. But they have to then find a spot. So after rescuing Buckbeak, now they have to wait for quite a while because all the events still have to happen where they go down, go to the Shrieking Shack, and Lupin comes, Snape comes, and then they come back out. So they have to wait for the right moment now to go fly Buckbeak up to the window where Sirius is at.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they're just watching themselves.
Yeah. And Harry describes it again and again. Harry says it's one of the strangest sensations he's ever felt. Like he actually had problems to actually understand what's happening because you're watching yourself over there.
Right. I mean, imagine like, if I just looked in the kitchen and like we just saw you over there working, me and you just like,
I know.
Making breakfast.
That'd be so crazy.
That'd be wild. I'd be like, "What? Hey, hello. What are you doing?" Like, the other thing is, have you ever been sort of, I don't know, out and about, and you thought that you're being watched? Have you ever had the feeling of being watched?
I guess so, but not really. I know.
Yeah. Have you ever heard people say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I have.
I never really felt that you know, almost like your neck's proclaiming someone's watching you. No, I've never really felt that.
That just tells me that at some point in the future, I must get access to a time turner.
Oh, it's you who watch yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching myself. I'm watching us, you know what I mean? And you were probably in the future like, you know, you're like, sweetie, I don't want to do it. You go ahead and do it. Is it safe? Are you sure? It's safe. And I'm going to go back and like Well, I'm like 90 years old, hopefully. I don't know. That'd be crazy, right? Maybe not. I don't know. But go back in time and you see yourself and you just sort of like relive some moments. It'd be fun. Could you imagine if that was a technology in the future that we had, that we could do that?
Oh, I know.
That'd be crazy.
Who knows?
I don't think I would even want to do that, but I just think it's like,
you know,
it's nuts.
The things that our grandparents or great grandparents, they grew up with. And now the world, how it is now, it's so different.
So different. I mean, you and I are evident of that.
They would think the internet and phones are magic, honestly.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, you and I are able to just like fly over to Germany and do our thing and like talk. Yeah. You know, we're able to podcast right now and people can listen and hear. And yeah, I don't know. We make friends all around the world just because we're doing a Harry Potter podcast. Like, that's the wildest. I love that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And also, what's interesting is I think, when we talk about this whole time traveling and watching yourself in, you know, you're kind of in the same time, but this is your past self. How come that we live our lives always from our perspective, right? We see the world from our perspective, but then in our dreams, often the perspective changes and we watch ourselves. How does that happen if it comes from our consciousness, subconsciousness somehow, the dreams, but then you... almost like you leave your body and you watch yourself from above. Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's, I think, because I'm just a big believer in this now, that it's our souls are eternal, infinite, and they're outside of space and time.
Yeah.
And when we sleep, I think, you know, it's like this dream realm that we're in. It's a, that's a really interesting one. I think it's like, I don't know, because I've seen stuff that's so weird, right? And that it's stuff in the future, it's stuff in the past. It's just sort of crazy.
Yeah. So and sometimes maybe. I believe almost everyone probably had dreams where they watch themselves. Sometimes you have a dream from your perspective, and sometimes though you are a third perspective.
Yeah, and sometimes you are the snake.
Yeah, sometimes you are
Professor. I was the snake. it was me. Sorry.
I just thought of something, but I'm not gonna say it here.
Oh, inappropriate. Well, I thought of something earlier, by the way. It's been burning inside of me. I was gonna save it for the end, but when you were reading, you know, you were talking about Harry waking up unconscious, right, in the hospital wing.
Yeah.
And you said that Hermione also woke up in the bed next to him.
Oh, not in the bed next to him, but in the bed.
In the bed.
Next to him.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh,
and then later.
And then she pulls him into the closet.
I was like, stop. I can't. I know. Go back and listen. And if you see the video version, I'm grinning. You can see when I start to grin on my face because I'm just sort of like, hold it together.
I know. I held together too. Okay.
Don't be inappropriate. Yep. And we were talking earlier about relationships and Harry and, you know, couples.
Everyone's rooting for Harry and
Hermione.
Hermione.
Oh my God, there was evidence for it, guys. Like, trust me, J.K. Rowling was setting it up. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Anyway, just thought it was funny. And back to being
serious.
All right.
Well,
what do you got?
Harry almost got seen a couple of times, but especially this moment when he thinks about, okay, what could he change? And he is way more, because he's not experienced with time travel, he has way more things he wants to do. Hermione reminds him, no, this is not our mission. We can't do that. We can't be seen. You got to be really careful. We only have to save Sirius. We can't change anything else. You can't catch Peter. How are you supposed to find a rat in the dark?
Right.
And has to learn that.
Right. And the reason why, sorry, I know you have a point. Go for it. Sorry.
Okay.
Go for it.
So, he almost went out and took the invisibility cloak before Snape could get to the Whomping Willow and get it.
Yeah.
So, but the theory is he can't do that because already back then there's already them time traveling in that moment because they are in that time right now. Mm-hmm. So when it happened earlier, Hermione already held him back not to go and get it. So there was basically zero possibility that he would succeed in doing that right now because it's already happened that way, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole paradox of the thing, that they do have free will, but the free will already played out, so they can't change that right now because this is already how it happened, that Hermione held him back. And thankfully she did, because Hagrid, you know, when Dumbledore asked him, let's have a brandy because Buckbeak got away, let's celebrate.
Right.
So Hagrid was a little tipsy and going up to the castle, and he would have seen Harry.
Right. So, for example, like we've always said, if they had have actually seen Buckbeak be executed, then there was no way to ever save Buckbeak.
Exactly.
If it happens in the first timeline or the timeline, right, it has to stay self-consistent.
Yeah.
So if there's no evidence that it did happen or didn't happen, then, you know,
yes.
Right? So.
You heard us before. If you listened to episodes before, you know what we're talking about, hopefully. Or not. Maybe you're confused.
Maybe you're talking about, like, what the heck? So, like, Dumbledore cannot... Dumbledore influences the past, but it's because he's already done it.
Yes.
And it was already done by them, and he just saw it, and he was telling them to do it in the future, and they go back and do it, and it's just freaking nuts.
Yeah.
Why can they save Sirius? Well, because in their timeline, he has not yet been... Had they had waited till the Dementor's Kiss happened, they could never have changed it.
No.
That's
what Dumbledore knows, and that's why it's so urgent.
Right. That's why in the... That's the way J.K. Rowling sort of set this up. She looked for a... time travel principle where there would not be there'd be closed loops,
right? They couldn't go crazy with all the other
events. You can't create other timelines and things like that. That's why the Cursed Child is so crazy, is that they actually
then
do
all of
open
a sudden
up
they can
they open up a different form of time travel where you can go back in time as far back as you want and change something that is already happened. So the self-consistency principle is what sort of guides time travel in The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be consistent.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay. So we know that Harry did not go out, and Snape does find the invisibility cloak, and everything happens at the Shaking Shack, and they're just sitting there. Hermione shares with Harry that she's always been wondering how did the... Always. For the 2 hours, 3 hours. She's been wondering how did the Dementors... what drove them away? Why did they survive this? Or why are they not all, or at least Sirius, why have they not been kissed by a Dementor? And everyone passed out. No one knows. But Harry shares the thought with her. I think it was my dad.
Yep.
And I don't know how I would have reacted if one of my best friends shared that with me. And since they know they're in the wizarding world, they know there's things they can't explain. Mm-hmm. But Hermione... she's almost like concerned that Harry has false hopes.
Yeah. You know, for sure. I think about this. If somebody says that they've seen something, a ghost or a spirit, or they've had an experience that is supernatural, a lot of people, their initial thing is like, what are you serious? Are you deranged?
Yeah.
I mean, they go to insulting and they just can't. Me. And I think sometimes people have, because you don't want to, it's such a fine line. You don't want to entertain someone who truly is and who does have some mental issues and disabilities or things that are kind of going on, and you don't want to sort of feed that. I get that.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm also like, I am not going to say it doesn't exist. If there's somebody, if somebody says that they saw something that is just unexplainable,
right.
I mean,
you saw it.
We can't explain
it right now, but you saw what you saw.
Right.
And she even says, like, maybe was he a ghost?
Right. She starts
which
to kind of
is
wonder.
A possibility. If you know, we know that people exist as in ghost form after they have passed. But Harry says no, he didn't look like one.
Right.
And they kind of have to leave it at that, though, because they see themselves come back out, and they don't solve the mystery here just yet.
Yeah.
And when they realize, and this is kind of interesting, I love how they played it out in the movie. It was very clever to have Hermione howl and influence it that way a little bit, and because what would be what would be a clever way to turn Lupin around and away from the kid, drive him away from the kids in the movie, but that's not how it happened in the book. He just, I think it was because Sirius attacked him, he just ran away, and then they have to move because he just darts towards the forest. That's where they are. So they go back to Hagrid's cabin, actually, because no one's there. Hagrid went up to the castle, and they arrive there. It's super cute. Buckbeak like, curls up in front of the fire. He's tired, and Harry's like, "No, I gotta go. I gotta like." He says, "I gotta keep track of the events," but also he secretly hopes I can see my dad out there.
Yeah,
and
for
him, it's like, well, all of like Peter came back, even though everyone was. Thought he was dead.
Right.
Sirius was there. Remus was there. All the Marauders were there. Is it possible? Why is it so impossible that maybe his dad too, like the last of the Marauders, also would show up? And the cool thing is, he did.
Yeah.
And this made me very emotional yesterday to think about how beautiful this is. The symbolism of Harry thinks he sees his dad, But then he realizes it was me. But then it was also his dad through him, because Harry conjures up his Patronus. And first of all, I thought, what memory did he use to conjure up this powerful Patronus mm-hmm. in this moment? Was it just the memory of himself doing it? Like mm-hmm. the realization it was me?
Yeah.
And did that make him so happy? Mm-hmm. We don't know. He never talks about it. And then when his Patronus comes back, he realizes it's prongs. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, you know, Patronus means protector, and it's him, prongs, who protects Harry from within. He's yeah. inside Harry, right? It's the whole Lion King theme. Mm-hmm. He's in here. He's always with you. He's inside yeah. of you. Yeah, it's like really like those people never leave us yeah. because they are inside of us. They are who shape our lives. And yeah, I just think it's so cool how Harry, it's his power from inside, but it's also his dad who helps him and who comes out in yeah. the form of the Patronus.
Yep. Yep. For sure. So. You know, and I think even too, when you're first reading this series, like we've talked about, you wonder, as you said, Pettigrew's back, Sirius is there, Remus is there, we're missing one Marauder. Mm-hmm. All that Harry has really heard, and he just knows his parents were killed, he doesn't really have all the details. Like,
yeah.
did they find his father's body? Was there evidence of the Avada Kedavra curse? No one ever talks about that. And so you start to wonder, did he?
Yeah.
Could he have actually been alive? When you're yeah. first reading this, you would start to scratch your head and go yes. backwards. And
is there a type of magic we just don't know yet?
Yeah,
and there is a couple we learn about later,
right?
Like the resurrection stone, they mm-hmm. the ghosts appear, or the spirits appear. Then there's ghosts, there's portraits, there's right. different ways to communicate with your mm-hmm. you know with mm-hmm. your loved ones who have passed.
Yeah, when I mean in Goblet of Fire, like all like again all of the when the wand cores connect
and the wand connection back, yep.
their spirits return, so to speak, with the dead. At that point he's mm-hmm. speaking with his yeah. parents, and Dumbledore is like, wow, that is some powerful stuff. Yeah. What are you talking about? That's very, very, very hard, ancient, powerful magic. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it just like, I think, yeah, when you're reading this the first time, it is still possible because the impossible has happened. Everyone said Pettigrew yeah. is dead,
yeah.
but yet he's not. That's just what everyone told us. So just yeah. because they told us James is dead at the time
yeah.
when this is written, it was a great spot to kind of like yeah. not go super in detail about what happened to the Potters, just... Mm-hmm. he was attacked. Like, we don't know, was James... I mean, look what happens in the movie, anyways, what they did with Bellatrix. Like, she's just gone. There is no body. There's nothing. When Molly Weasley yeah. gets her, she's done. So there's different ways to, you know... Did you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, sorry.
Sorry, it's no, just... it's not funny, but I just had to think about yesterday we watched Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Defeated, but hey, there he is.
Comes, cut in half, falls down a thing.
Comes back.
No problem. We're bringing him back. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like that's what these stories do.
Yeah.
And they're heroic, they're fantasy stories,
yeah.
and so anything can sort of happen, and the strange and obscure yeah. can take place. So,
but also the yeah. acceptance of no, this is they have passed into another realm.
It's good, yeah. It's
you have to accept that.
Yep,
they are not going to be back here like they were before, but that doesn't mean they're gone. Mm-hmm. They're still inside of us. They still
yeah.
are with us.
They still can speak to us.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great, you're talking about dreams earlier, and it's like, mm-hmm. I've had so many dreams where my mother has come back and
yeah.
spoken
yep.
to me. And yes. you're like, wow, that's something.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right.
Yeah. I mean, really the last thing they have left to do is they just watch Snape. I mean, Hermione, first of all, is shocked that Harry messed with time, but at the same time it's okay because he's done it before. It's part already of the whole thing.
Explains the mystery, explains,
right? Yeah. So and then she is, I think, very impressed mm-hmm. that Harry managed to conjure up not just a little Patronus with some silvery light, mm-hmm. but an mm-hmm. actual Patronus who drove away hundreds of mm-hmm. Dementors.
Yep.
Right. So I think that really she already knew that Harry is a great caliber wizard.
Yeah.
She knew that when in the first book she told him, you know, books and cleverness, well, that all really doesn't matter. I think you're brave, and mm-hmm. she knows he's a good wizard.
He's great, a
powerful
wizard.
Yes.
Harry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but I think this even more made her realize how much he has inside of him.
Yeah. Yeah, and that power, sometimes cool. We talk about like the knowledge of spells, you know, and I think Hermione knows a lot in books and cleverness, like you just said, right? But to be able to conjure one spell that is extremely powerful that can drive away that many Dementors, it's sort of what we see Aberforth Dumbledore do later on when he, at least in the film, cast his Patronus and boom, saves everybody from the Dementor attack. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the power within and it being unleashed in a particular spell or what have you. So, I mean, again, I'll go ahead and say it. Professor Lockhart, powerful. Powerful in terms of memory charms. Like, really true. Powerful stuff. True. So,
just not as versatile. But
right, exactly.
The last thing for them to do is wait for Snape to take everyone upstairs, and then McNair comes out to get the Dementors, and they know now it's time, and they have to hurry up because they have really, really, they're very limited on time. They have no clue how they're going to do it yet, but they just mount Buckbeak, let's go. Hermione, by the way, hates it. She hates flying, and we get that from the first movie on, right? She's never been into flying. That's the one thing she doesn't want to deal with.
Right, right.
Is being on a broomstick or anything that flies. So she's afraid of flying. And she still gets over her fear, and they count the windows to Flitwick's office, I think 13th from the left or something on the West Tower. Yeah. And they Alohomora the window open. Mm-hmm. And Sirius is surprised, but he knows, okay, we got to go.
Go.
And he jumps on. They go up the tower, and that's where Hermione and Harry get off. And unfortunately, there's so much to say between Harry and Sirius in this moment, and they know they can't say everything right now. Mm-hmm. There's so much so many unspoken things between them in that, in that few moments before they leave.
Right, right.
But Sirius says he's certain they will see each other again, which is nice. And then he says, "You're truly your father's son."
Yeah.
And I hope that Harry, even after hearing all this about the Marauders and his dad, and he has not really seen anything yet, all the, you know, bullying they did, but this year his picture in his mind, his image of his father, has crumbled just a little bit. And I hope Harry still takes it as a compliment. I hope Harry knows deep inside, yes, his father has done things that were not great. Mm-hmm. That, you know, as a teenager, you're in a group, you get strength from your peers, like being together. And there's this one kid who also tries to be friends with your girlfriend, the girl that you like. Mm-hmm. So that's another factor why they chose Severus to, I mean, Severus also already, I don't know. He almost asks for it to get in a fight with them. Right. He's this weird kid. He's a Slytherin. There's already this rivalry. He also likes Lily, and there's a lot of things that James shouldn't have done. For sure. Yeah. But I do think he has changed once they got married and had Harry, and I think all that, having a family, must have changed him.
Yeah.
And I hope Harry is proud to be James's son.
Yeah, I think he is. And I also too, just in James's defense, it's like, seems like Sirius was the one who actually would push things over the line and their best buds, and it was James who came to his senses and saved Severus, right? But also was like, dude, he probably went back to Sirius like, you can't do that again. Like, what? Crossing lines, man. Like, you got to slow. You're my best friend. But, like, we almost got somebody killed.
Yeah.
Like, there's joking around. Yeah. And then there's, like, you take it too far.
Yes.
And Sirius is the guy who, I think, takes it too far.
Yeah. For sure. But we need to just...
of his, you know, name.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to discuss Sirius's character and his whole history, family situation when he was young, growing up. Terrible, right? I mean, he left home.
Yeah.
And kind of lived with his best friend
because
he had nowhere else to go. So
right.
Crazy. But yeah, crazy chapter.
Good chapter, though. Great chapter. And
great chapter. Can't believe this all happened in just one chapter. Whoops. I got rid of the doc. Because it feels like it's such a big part of the movie, the last part there when they relive everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
cool stuff with time turning, and we do save Sirius, and this is great. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to dive into his character arc more and all the different backstory between the Marauders and Snape and everything that's going to be coming. We're going to put that kind of on hold, though, for Goblet of Fire. We'll get back to that in the Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince when we really get into all the different memories and stuff. Yeah. We just need to go. It's kind of weird when you think about all the different story, the plot lines, and all the connections and stuff. It's sort of like, hey, we're just going to take Goblet of Fire, and we're just going to go nuts. Goblet of Fire just goes crazy. So we still have one more chapter to come to finish off of the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
But I cannot wait for Goblet of Fire because it's just so different.
I know.
And it's so like, what? It just expands the world, mm-hmm. right? It's this huge world.
We see wizards from other countries.
Yeah. I can't wait.
It's awesome. I love the Quidditch World Cup because it never lived. The movie definitely doesn't live up to the book. So I can't wait to get into the whole. Yeah.
I love the movie, but it just doesn't. I love the movie because I love the book. But then I know that's why people also hate the movie because they're like, I love the book and it doesn't live up. So
yeah. Where's the Quidditch match?
Yeah. It's like, what? Anyway, all right. Well, friends, thank you guys so much. Again, happy Super Bowl Sunday. You're probably going to hear this on Wednesday, so let us know if we got it right. Chiefs win. Calling that one. And I think they win by about 10 points. So you guys let me know how I...
Did you travel in time?
You guys let me know.
Did you, come back and tell us?
I actually just wrote down, like, I want to do some investigation after this. Like, when were time turners created? And were they created as a weapon against... Grindelwald, possibly. You know, where they created.
Oh, you think they didn't exist during his time?
And they might not. I don't know. I haven't looked into any of the research on it or anything. I'm just going to go do some research myself and see, because what Grindelwald is using during that time is, what was it called? The starts with a Q-U, but the little fantastic beast that he uses to see.
Oh, Quillen.
A Quillen. Thank you. He uses to see forward, right?
True. Yeah. It helped him to see the future somehow, to do some divination stuff.
And Dumbledore had to do things at random, right? He had to use, you know, like was trippy how they combated
that. Interesting.
Him.
Yeah.
So you wonder if there might not be a device that comes out of all of this, some invention or something that Dumbledore might use. I've always wondered, like, what are all the things that he did to circumvent Grindelwald? Even though he had the Elder Wand. Grindelwald has the Elder Wand. How does Dumbledore beat him? Is it just on straight skill? Like, Dumbledore's just better than the Elder Wand? I mean, that would be awesome. but we've not really seen that duel actually happen, right? He's not been apprehended. So, sorry, Fantastic Beast is just on my mind. And I thought with the time turn, I've made a note in here to go back and check those things out before we get too deep into the series. Friends, again, this is the moment of the show where if you have anything you want to send us in to read, please do so. We'd love to read that, and we're checking the email daily, so that's fleurandbill@gmail.com, or messages. We actually have a few comments that are really good on the YouTube channel. I think we're going to start pulling those and featuring some of those because they're just fascinating. I cover a wide range of topics on the extended edition, and people's comments are sometimes like paragraphs long.
I know, it's great. And they get the discussion going. It's wonderful. And things we've never thought about. So please keep doing that. It's so fun to read.
Yeah. And the polls actually is another great spot where people go in there and they have great, great conversations. So, all right, friends. Well, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning into Shutout Guys Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you'll join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. Now, please do subscribe to the podcast. By subscribing, you will get all of the episodes in your feed. You'll be updated when we drop a new one. So, and also tell a friend. We've never asked this before, but I thought maybe it's a good time for you listeners to tell a friend about Shell Cottage Radio, a cozy Potter podcast where everyone belongs, and we would love to have more positive Potter people. And don't forget to follow on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you, to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will wrap up our journey through Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with Chapter 22, Owl Post, again. So make sure to tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.